This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, one thing we do know is that you can't have Parmesan without eggs, and the cost of eggs are beginning to come down, thanks to the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins. That is great news for all of us, and oil's coming down as well. It's great news for our farmers, for all of us. Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. President today in the Oval Office with the Irish Prime Minister. Let me say, I love March. I love St. Paddy's Day. It's a great time of year. I did marry an Irish girl. I mean, she's not from Ireland, but you know what I mean? She's half Irish anyway. I love the Irish. Many, many years ago, we did a Zeoli Army trip to Ireland. And it was a lot of fun. It was a blast. We had a great time. Made some really good friends on that trip. That was so much fun. But Ireland, Ireland's a very beautiful place. Magical. St. Patrick's Day in the city of Philadelphia. Nothing like it. There really is nothing like it. If you've never done a bar crawl in Philly on St. Paddy's Day in your life, you're missing out. You got to do it at least once. It's great. It's fun. It really is. It's insane. I'm not going to lie. It's a little insane. It's crazy, but it's good crazy. It's a very, very good crazy. So with the and then Monday, Friday is this blood supermoon we're having. It's the first lunar eclipse we've had in, I think, 4 years, 3 or 4 years, if I'm not mistaken. That's going to be a big deal coming up on Friday. But then next Friday is our big Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon. So a lot to think about. But good, there's good news on the horizon with the war in Ukraine and Russia coming to an end. By the way, this whole idea that veal is cruel, that's a lie. It's not true. I'll explain as the show goes on today. I don't want you to think I'm a cruel person. I'm not a cruel person, actually. Veal is no more cruel than eating any other animal, actually. I'll explain, but we'll get into that in a minute. We'll talk about agriculture. It's a very, very important industry for the state of Pennsylvania. And for our country. And food prices today, prices went down. This was a big deal. First really good news we've had in a while. Even CNN forced to acknowledge the good economic news in the United States of America today. And that's really good stuff. But let me begin with this. The president talking about eggs and what the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, is doing. Besides just, I mean, all Biden did was just murder chickens. That's a mass murder of chickens. Chicken genocide. That's all the guy did to deal with the avian bird flu. And there was no reason for it. And they have a plan now to deal with it. And I want to also give a shout out to Senator Dave McCormick, who's been working really hard on this, because agriculture is Pennsylvania's number one industry. And it matters. It really does. It matters. Here's what the president said on this, cut number one.
I don't know if you saw a little thing like the cost of eggs. Little to you, but big to people out there. Down almost 30%. In the last few days, we got it down. We did a lot of things. We have a great Secretary of Agriculture, and we did a lot of things that got the cost of eggs down very substantially.
Yeah, good. That's excellent. Really, really good. It's what we need. It's what we need. We need to have a situation where these things happen, prices come down. But a big part of the reason why prices are going to come down is because the United States is going to unleash our energy potential. It drives everything. It drives agriculture. It drives food prices. It drives, really everything is done by that. Everything. And so if we can get oil down, if we can get natural gas pumping, if we can do all these things, that'd be great. I shared with you yesterday a piece that was written, co-written by Martina White, to really addressing to Governor Josh Shapiro about, hey, let's open up a liquid natural gas export facility in Philadelphia. Yeah, we should. We absolutely should. We really should. It'd be good. But a big part of what has to happen here is the EPA, which I'd shut down, just like the Department of Education, if it were up to me. The EPA, Nixon's worst mistake, by the way, was the EPA. Worst mistake Richard Nixon made. Lee Zeldin, who is the new EPA administrator, has announced the historic actions to power the Great American Comeback. The greatest day of deregulation in American history. This is a little bit of a long cut, but it's worth it. It really is. Because I have had more not me personally, but just from somebody who loves liberty, watching the Environmental Protection Agency meddle in people's lives and be a thorn in the side of businesses and even private landowners for all of these years. And the first term in Trump's administration, I don't think he realized the power these bureaucrats in the EPA have, because he didn't realize the power that any of the bureaucrats really had. He just assumed, I get in there, I'm the boss, I'm the CEO, I say how it is. That's not how our government works. He didn't realize that the first term, but he knows now, which is why he's put in disruptors. Disruptors who will go in and disrupt. And yeah, the EPA needs to be disrupted big time. I'm telling you right now, of everything that's happening, this matters more, because you look at Chevron, for example, the Chevron deference doctrine and the Supreme Court's overturning of that. That originally was in the 1980s something that conservatives celebrated, because they said, oh, good, you know, we'll let the executive branch really interpret these things and not the courts. But the problem is, what they didn't see coming was they didn't see bureaucrats who would say, we can make rules, we can make laws, we can promulgate regulations that Congress does not have to approve. The other thing we need to do is we need to pass the RAINS Act. My buddy Kat Kamik, who's going to be on the show with us very soon. Kat Kamik has been a big advocate in this. What the RAINS Act does is it basically sunsets regulations. And it says that regulations have to be approved by Congress. It's not a situation where the administration, the executive, unelected bureaucrats get to put in rules and regulations that have the effect of law with jail time and fines and everything else. And then if Congress doesn't like it, then Congress has to vote to overturn it. No. The RAINS Act flips that on its head. It puts a sunset period in effect for regulations, and also a time by which Congress has to be able to go back and look and then undo these things. And then going forward, regulations have to be approved by Congress, which is the way it should be. These are laws. They have the full weight of law, and the executive branch is not allowed to pass laws. Check the Constitution. It's in there, allegedly. Here is the new EPA administrator, Lee Zeldin, former congressman, friend of the show, was on the show a bunch of times with us during the election. Cut 25.
Today, I'm pleased to make the largest deregulatory announcement in U.S. history. The Environmental Protection Agency is initiating 31 historic actions to fulfill President Trump's promise to unleash American energy, revitalize our auto industry, restore the rule of law, and give power back to the states. EPA will be reconsidering many suffocating rules that restrict nearly every sector of our economy and cost Americans trillions of dollars. Our actions include the Biden administration's deeply flawed Clean Power Plan 2.0, mercury and air toxic standards, Quad OBC, particulate matter 2.5, light, medium, and heavy car and truck rules, NESHAPs, and the so-called social cost of carbon. To advance cooperative federalism, EPA will partner with states that were universally rejected by the last administration's good neighbor rule. Among many other actions, today's momentous day also includes the 2009 endangerment finding, along with all actions that rely on it. I've been told the endangerment finding is considered the holy grail of the climate change religion. For me, the U.S. Constitution and the laws of this nation will be strictly interpreted and followed. No exceptions. Today, the Green New scam ends as the EPA does its part to usher in the golden age of American success. Our actions will lower the cost of living by making it more affordable to purchase a car, heat your home, and operate a business. Jobs will be created, especially in the U.S. auto industry, and our nation will become stronger for it. From the campaign trail to day one and beyond, President Trump has delivered on his promise to unleash energy dominance and lower the cost of living. We at EPA will do our part to power the great American comeback.
Great. I love every word of that. Every freaking word of that makes me happy. It should make you happy, too. That's really great stuff right there. You know, there's a thing in New Jersey right now where if you're a New Jersey resident, you're a ratepayer, and maybe you have a shore house, your energy bills have skyrocketed, The BPU, the Board of Public Utilities, just voted for a massive rate hike. And you break down that bill, you will see how many things in that bill have to do with funding the green scam nonsense. It's a lot. It drives the cost of electricity up, and it has to stop. That's on the state level, though. But on the federal level, a lot of what he's talking about now, and then combined with what the Energy Department's going to do and the Secretary of Interior is going to do and the Energy Dominance Council is going to do, which is going to bring more oil and natural gas to the market to supply the world, is going to lower prices for all of us. And also, it's going to beat bad guys. It's going to beat bad guys, which is also great. So good, because I don't think Vladimir Putin needs to get $1 trillion from the very European countries that are funding the war in Ukraine. That has to stop. So the president said today, oil prices are falling. Good. Cut number two.
What I'm very happy with is oil is down to $65 a barrel. And that's faster than I would have attended. We put on the gas. We stepped in the gas in order to get oil. And what's happening. So we're getting that down. When energy comes down, prices are going to be coming down with it. So in a very short period of time, we've done a very good job.
Good. That's what has to happen. And then put in a liquid natural gas export facility in South Philly, and then let's supply the world. Let's supply the world, bring billions of dollars to Pennsylvania's economy, to the United States economy, thousands and thousands, hundreds, tens of thousands of jobs. Be a beautiful thing. It really would. And then let's stop the nonsense with the lie about climate change. Let's stop it once and for all. You know, there's a law that's proposed in some wacky state, I forget, where gas stations are now going to have a warning for customers that the oil and gas companies have lied to you about climate change. Now, you know how you go into a pharmacy that sells cigarettes and there's a sign now that has to be displayed? Warning, tobacco companies lie to you about cancer and health effects. So they're trying to equate the two. Because big tobacco hid data about how smoking causes cancer, they're trying to say that oil and natural gas companies knew their product caused climate change, and they hid that data from you. Does anyone with a brain actually think that those two things are equal? That those two things even fit together? Of course not. There's no evidence. There's no evidence that burning fossil fuels leads to climate change. There is no evidence of that. I know that the left likes to pretend there is, but there isn't. They have been going with this scam for so long now, and the consequence is we're paying more for everything. We're paying more for everything. Look, if I really believed that oil and natural gas were causing climate change, I'd be very worried about my children and my children's children, and I'd be fighting to do something about it. But it's a fugazi. It's a fugazi argument. And it needs to stop. And the other thing about this, too, is that the countries in the world like Russia and China and Saudi Arabia, Iran, Dubai, all the Gulf States countries, they align with Russia. They align with China. We play these green energy scam games here in the United States of America. We will not be able to meet the needs of this country, let alone supply the world. Bottom line. And so guys like Putin will continue to get rich. by the very same countries that are supposed to be helping Ukraine. Now, the good news is that war is coming to an end. I really truly believe that. And the Irish Prime Minister today wanted to thank the president for bringing peace. Let's cue up cut number 7 here. Here's the Prime Minister of Ireland, Michael Martin. I wonder what his thoughts are on chicken parmesan. Cut number 7.
Can I just say, I'd like to pay tribute to the president on the peace initiatives. The one thing we've learned in Ireland about the peace process that you've just spoken about, and I recall back in the early 90s, when the first tentative steps to get peace in Ireland, people criticised people like John Hume or people like Albert Reynolds and then Taoiseach. They kept going. And when we got that ceasefire in 1993, okay, it took a number of years to get the comprehensive peace settlement. But again, the guns more or less largely went silent. The war in Ukraine is a devastating war on young people. And I think that very simple, straightforward narrative is to be commended. We all have children. I mean, we're shocked at the prospect of young people losing their lives in that number, be they Ukrainian, be they Russian, whatever. Anything we can do to stop the violence, I think, is an extremely positive day. And there will be all sorts of people having qualifications on it and all the rest of it. It's our job then to work on it and to try and build it. US
Good. I mean, this is great. This is what we need. And the president was pretty harsh on Russia today, saying Russia needs to come to the table. Russia needs to come to the table here, and they need to do this, and they need to turn around, and they need to have peace here. We need peace. It's what needs to happen. So he's exactly right on that point. And that would be a great thing for everybody. It really would. And I think, look, you know, if you're going to think about it, too, the fact of the matter is that the previous administration never tried once to end that war. Never tried once. Think about it. At no point did they try to bring Ukraine and Russia to the table. No, the EU didn't try to bring Russia and Ukraine to the table. None of these countries did. The only person who has been able to do this is Donald Trump and his team. That's it. Ever since Russia invaded Ukraine, the only people that have been able to bring those two sides to the table is the Trump administration. Here's J.D. Vance, the vice president, today talking about where we are with this ceasefire agreement. Cut number 6.
Well, we've got some conversations that are happening on the phone and in person with some of our representatives over the next couple of days. As the president said, we think that we're in a very good place where the Ukrainians have agreed to a ceasefire, and we're now going to see whether we can get the Russians to agree to a ceasefire, too. And we'll certainly have news on that when we find out that news.
Good. Great. Excellent. I like it. That's good. That makes me very, very happy. So here's something else, too, which I think is really important to think about with all this, is that if Russia is no longer able to be the prime supplier of oil and natural gas to Europe, and the United States of America is able to step up and step in and fill that gap, and that dramatically weakens Vladimir Putin, that's something that everybody who right now is accusing Trump of being some sort of a Russian puppet, you got to ask yourself, what kind of a puppet would do that to his master? The answer is he wouldn't. All right. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com, my buddy, my friend, the master of dental implants. You know, I always say to, I love, what is it? What's the saying? Irish eyes are smiling, right? This is a great time of year, isn't it? The days are brighter and the weather warms up and we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. We all have fun. And this is the time for you to go see Dr. Mike about your smile and get yourself the smile that you deserve, the smile of your dreams. Because for over 10 years, he's been recognized as the master of dental implants, the master of making you look and feel your absolute best. That's what Dr. Mike does. And that's why other dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike. They know that there's no one better than him. So if you need, a complicated dental work, like an implant, for example, then yeah, Dr. Mike is your guy, and he'll give you a free implant consultation. There's two locations, Cinnaminston and Woodbury. Both offices have wonderful people working there, committed to your smile. Great music playing. And Dr. Mike's a great conversationalist, too. You'll love talking to him. You'll love getting his opinion on things. He'll love hearing from you. And you'll love the results. My entire family goes to Dr. Mike Veneria for the care and expertise. There's simply no one better. So reach out to him today. Go to VeneriaDental.com, VANARIA, VeneriaDental.com. And make your consultation today for that perfect smile, Dr. Mike Veneria.
Hey, I'm Andy.
If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Oli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So will there be a government shutdown? Democrats are vowing to block the continuing resolution, but I'll tell you how that's going to play right into President Trump's hands, and even Politico was first to acknowledge that with an article. And Congressman Scott Perry is going to join the show a little bit later today. He just co-sponsored a bill to abolish the Fed. That's right, the Federal Reserve. Get rid of the Fed. Say good riddance to the Fed. We are streaming live on YouTube right now. So if you're joining the fun, join the chat and tune in. There's a lot of debate right now about chicken parm. I left out pangolin parmesan. That's fair. That's what caused the pandemic. So I didn't want to bring that up. It was a little too 5 years ago today. Of course, everything shut down 5 years ago this week. The world shut down. So I don't want to bring up my pangolin parmesan right now. But somebody made the comment earlier that veal was cruel. There's actually, I wanted to share this video with you. Kirk loaded it up to the YouTube stream for us because it's one of those fugazi things. Like the left comes up with all these stupid things and they put out fake information all the time. And I have no patience for that. I have no tolerance for that. And I don't want anyone thinking I'm a cruel person. So this farmer put this video out on Facebook, right? So remember now, like for farmers in the dairy industry, the cattle industry, this is a tough industry. And this guy, this Iowa dairy farmer, put out a piece about veal and cows. And it's important for two reasons. Number one, it counters the disinformation, misinformation, lie of the left, but also the United States Department of Agriculture. And then we have a sane secretary in there now named Brooke Rollins. She's already doing a fantastic job. I think she's great. I really do. And I'll tell you another thing that she's working on in just a moment. But just take a little bit of a listen to this guy, what he talks about here, kind of enlightening. And you realize how our farmers in this country, not only do they have to deal with the left and the vegan left, the crazy people, but they also have to deal with our own United States Department of Agriculture and the lies that are pushed out there. And it makes their and then of course China buying all the farmland and China buying these big meat factories. Like they own a lot of companies now in the United States of America that make pork and veal and beef and other things too. So this is a small dairy farmer here. Let's listen to what he has to say here.
Lauren here has a great question about veal. So we're going to talk about it. Are these calves, any of these, going for veal? No, but there are calves that do, so we're going to address it. And here's a fun fact. Last spring, I was supposed to be able to go to tour some veal farms, so you can actually see what two or three veal farms actually look like. Problem was, the organization I was going to be going with was funded by USDA. USDA found my content inappropriate, so I wasn't allowed to go. So, let's answer Lauren's question. Is veal mostly babies? When do calves become veal? Short answer is, 99% of the time, veal is never this young. We're going to come back to that because maybe sometimes it happens, but the bulk of veal, 99% of it, are at least 6 to 8 months old, which is older than any of the pigs that become your bacon. In fact, 90%+ of veal is older than any of the other meat animals that go to market when they go to market. What else is true about the veal industry? See this big group pen that our calves are in? Look at that calf go. That's exactly the kinds of conditions veal is raised in. Now, there might be a portion of their life for a week or two where they're kept in a smaller pen just so they can be monitored for health, milk consumption, things like that. That's not where they're raised their entire life. Veal calves, and again, they are fed milk up until a normal time frame most of the time, 6, 8, 10 weeks, depending. Some farms are a little more, a little less. And then they're kept, as when they're getting milk, in a group pen like this. It's important for calves to be able to run around and romp and socialize. Now again, sometimes they are kept in a smaller pen, individual pen, for a couple weeks. But like I said, as a whole, welfare is important, and it's important that veal calves get adequate housing. And there's not many farms that are strictly veal left anymore. So the ones that are around are under strict observation. They get monitored very closely by the USDA and other organizations who they provide their beef to. So why veal? Why would anyone actually choose veal? Honestly, for a lot of people, it's a flavor thing. The meat is really tender and it just tastes good. But also there is an environmental aspect to keep in mind too. There's times you can argue that veal might actually take less inputs per pound of food actually produced, and it can be a little bit higher in things like protein. Some people get really worked up. They think veal calves are babies, and that's what a lot of animal rights activists want to do. They want to create something called a trauma bond. So when you think veal, you think baby. Really, when you hear veal, you should think 600 to 700 pound animal that's at least 6 to 8 months old. Now to wrap up this video, we're going to circle back real quick to the idea of a baby calf. Those are called bobby calves. That very, very rarely ever happens. Now, when it does happen, there are usually other circumstances involved. Those really, really small calves, where even bobby calves are usually a week or two old, those calves are born into a scenario where people need that food immediately. Maybe that area doesn't have resources to raise up that food source to an adult age. So they utilize that food source at a little bit of a younger age. I'm not saying it's good, not saying it's bad, just saying it is what it is. It's a fact for some people, and that's the way sometimes people have to feed their families. But yeah, veal isn't the enemy that animal rights activists have made it out to be. Veal is a very affordable, economical, environmentally friendly resource, and the calves that eventually make that resource are raised humanely and live a great life. Anyways, thanks for the question, Lauren.
There you go. There you go. So see, it's a fugazi thing. So that being said, now that we've cleared that up, can we agree that chicken parm is the lesser parm? Can we finally agree on that, please? And it should never, ever be used for a special day, a celebration of any kind of day. Can we please all agree on that point? That's all I ask. All right. That's all I ask. All right, fine. I'm just going to calm down for a second. But speaking of vegans, someone sent me this story yesterday. You know, there was that vegan transgender cult out in the West Coast, and they were responsible for killing a Border Patrol agent, and they're a bunch of lunatics. And I know that sounds kind of redundant. They were lunatics. And then my buddy sends me this story last night from the New York Times about and some vegans were harmed in the watching of this movie. All right. I kid you not. There's a whole thing. Let me come back to that in just a second, because there's some breaking news. Democrats are now saying that they're going to block the they're going to block the CR. Look at that. They're going to block the continuing resolution, and that's going to play right into Donald Trump's hands. You know, this is a good time, Matt DeSantis, for us to play Bernie Sanders talking about how horrible life is. And Bernie has seen it all. Bernie has seen everything when it comes to from World War II to World War I. He's seen the disaster that's been the Civil War. He saw when they sacked Rome. He saw when I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Bernie was around very, very early under the Crusades as well. So Bernie has seen it. All right. So when Bernie tells you this is the worst time that he's ever lived, Bernie knows what he's talking about since he's 165 years old. So here's Bernie Sanders. Man, these Democrats are so bummed. They're so bummed and they're so down all the time. Cut 14.
There was also like a gravity in your voice and a sense that in a way that I maybe hadn't heard before. I don't know if you agree with that.
These are, you know, the scariest times in my lifetime. That's all. I mean, I think that's objectively the truth. You know, it is not just they want to give tax breaks to billionaires and cut programs for working people. Frankly, that's happened before.
Yeah.
But you combine that with the power of the oligarchy in general. You combine that with Mr. Musk owning Twitter and able to send out his messages to hundreds of millions of people. You combine that with the fact that people like Bezos, the second wealthiest person in the country, fired or got rid of most of his editorial staff and is going to convert them into a right-wing thing. Combine that with the fact that Trump is suing major media outlets and is threatening to investigate PBS and NPR. So it's not only the power of money, it's also combined with that the movement toward authoritarianism. You know, when Trump unilaterally cuts federal funding that was passed by Congress, that is illegal, that is unconstitutional. When you have the vice president saying,
I have bad news for Bernie. All right. Bernie's about to become even sadder because Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon Prime, is going to start showing The Apprentice. That's right. Yes, the show that made Donald Trump even famouser and even more powerfuler, the show that gave us the famous line, "You're fired, The Apprentice," that one. That's right. President Donald Trump's show, The Apprentice, is now going to stream on Amazon Prime, not Peacock, which is what that's NBC's streaming service. Peacock and The Apprentice usually used to run on NBC. Bezos got the rights to it, and Bezos is going to run The Apprentice. So you wait for Bernie, who sounds very depressed. That's depressed megaphone Bernie right there. Very sad. He's about to become even sadder because you're going to have now Jeff Bezos, who's already made The Washington Post a free place for ideas that aren't just "We hate Donald Trump" ideas. Well, guess what? He's now also going to stream The Apprentice. Oh, my God, man. Oh, James Bond will remain British and male under Amazon's management of the character, according to a report. Good. Good. James Bond will remain James Bond and not become Jane Bond. That's very, very good. But what about people who identify as turtles? That's a real thing, apparently. And the latest craze of the left and their evolution towards mental illness. I'll tell you about those who identify as turtles. You're going to want to hear this. It is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. I have a question for you. What would be a really sad theme song to go for sad Bernie Sanders? For sad megaphone Bernie. Do you have a suggestion for me? Let me know in the YouTube chat or tweet me at Rich Zeoli. And we're coming right back. But first, I'm talking about Emmons Roofing and Siding. Emmons does a great job serving all their customers. Roofing, siding, windows, doors, and so much more. That's what you can expect with Emmons Roofing and Siding. They simply are the best. And I trust them. That's why I use them in my home. And I've used them in two homes now. They did my roof in our old house. That roof has a lifetime warranty. Windows, doors, siding, so much more. That's what you can expect with the great work from Emmons Roofing and Siding. They're good people over there, dedicated to your customer satisfaction. Matt and his wife, Stephanie, well, listen, they know what it's like out there, and that's why they're offering each and every one of my listeners a 10% off inflation relief discount. That's right. 10% off inflation relief discount for you and me for every project that they do. Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to them today. When Emmons remodeled the bathroom at our old house, my wife was thrilled with the work. You'll be very happy as well. EmmonsRoofing.com, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so if you have a suggestion for a sad song to accompany sad Bernie Sanders, that would be great. Because I think that Megaphone Bernie, I've never heard him so down before. But we really need a theme song to that, all right? So would you let me know in the YouTube chat, or you can call the show, or you can tweet me, at Rich Zeoli. And how are we doing with the poll results on my question of, is chicken parm overrated? Where do we stand right now with that? What is the updated score?
Right now, with 96 votes in, no is leading the poll 52% to 48%.
So no chicken parm is not overrated?
Yeah, no chicken parm is not overrated, is winning.
No, that's ridiculous. That is wrong. Everyone's wrong. This is the first day the audience has been so... How could you get it so wrong? Chicken parm is an overrated dish. All right, what can we get for a song for sad Bernie Sanders? And it's got to be an orchestra song, I think, so we don't drown out Bernie. You know what I mean? Do you have any sad orchestra songs, Justin, at your disposal?
I do like the one suggestion from Watch Officer Benny, the sad music from the Lou Ferrigno Incredible Hulk TV show when he's walking down the street, when he's hitchhiking.
That's not a bad one. Can we hear that?
Yeah, let me pull that up.
All right, pull that up. Let's see if we can do that, because I personally, in all these years, have never heard him so sad before, Bernie Sanders. I'm just saying, these are dark days for Democrats. And by the way, they're about to become even darker for Democrats. See, if they wind up pushing this fight towards shutting down the government, then it's going to blow up in their face and play right into Trump's hands. Here's why. The legal basis for the modern federal shutdown traces back to a 1980 memorandum penned for President Jimmy Carter by then Attorney General Benjamin Civiletti. It spelled out his interpretation of what a lapse in funding would mean for a federal agency. No spending whatsoever, quote, except as necessary to bring about the orderly termination of an agency's functions. Excuse me. He later amended it to exempt functions connected to the safety of human life or for the protection of property. In other words, a government bureaucrat created the shutdown, and a government bureaucrat could destroy it. Trump's Attorney General Pam Bondi might not even need to rescind the guidance from the Attorney General of the time. The White House Office of Management and Budget exercises huge influence in determining what activities are essential under the memo and which aren't. And if we know anything about Trump's OMB director, Russ Vought, who's a man that I have a gigantic man crush on, it's that he has little regard for the niceties of the bureaucratic precedent. It's not hard to imagine him working with Trump and Musk to designate a much broader swath of federal agencies to continue operating while other disfavored corners of government are shut down and their workers sent home. A DOGE shutdown, in other words, could hand carte blanche to Musk, Vought and company to retake the federal government in the very ways that Democrats want to fight against. In some ways, it could even be easier. In fact, it could be a veritable dream for President Trump and Elon Musk and DOGE and Russ Vought and everybody else. Now, let's think about this for a second. Trump likes to play 4D chess. We know that. He's a big fan of 4D chess. The left mocks him for it. But let's say, for example, he knows that getting rid of the bureaucracy is going to be very, very challenging. It's up to him what What designates life and what doesn't? The safety of life to keep America going and all this other stuff is up to him. It's entirely up to the president. All right. Now, we've always heard in the past government shutdowns are really, really bad, that people won't get their Social Security checks, seniors will die, the military will not be there to stand guard for our country, and blah, 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 blah. But what if the CR fails in the Senate, government shuts down, President Trump turns around and goes, all right, here's the deal. Here's what's not essential. The EPA, the Department of Education, Department of this, Department of that, blah, 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 blah. Here's what is essential. The military, the people that send out Social Security checks, they're essential because that's life. The people that process Medicare and Medicaid claims, because that's life. Take away a huge talking point from the left, right? But we'll keep the shutdown going as long as we need to, because all these other bureaucrats can stay home. They're non-essential. And I've deemed it so. Wow. See, if Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer refuses to back a stopgap bill to fund the government through September 30th, then there's a government shutdown probably by the end of this week. Now, typically in the past, we've heard that that's the worst thing in the world. Although I've told you over the years, it's not the worst thing in the world. In fact, everyone will be fine. Everyone will survive. The country will be okay. Everyone will be okay. After a private party meeting, Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, instead urged Republicans to consider another extension to allow time to consider individual spending bills. That's what they wanted. They want a clean CR, they say. Democrats have been dubious about the Republican-drafted bill passed by the House on Tuesday, which would keep the federal spending going at roughly current levels for the next 6 months, saying it would give the Trump administration too much leeway to continue efforts to drastically overhaul the federal government. Federal funding is set to lapse at 12:01 a.m. on March 15th, if Congress does not act before then to extend it. Any changes in the House bill or another extension would require the House to return and approve it, which is highly unlikely. Republican leaders deliberately adjourned the chamber and left town after passing the legislation on Tuesday to effectively force the Senate to accept their funding legislation. So I guess the question then becomes, if there's a shutdown and the president uses the guidance from the attorney general going all the way back to 1980 for President Jimmy Carter, that says, hey, it's really up to you. It's really up to you. Safety of human life and the protection of property, anything outside of that is non-essential. Well, Trump goes, well, I think that Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security checks, that's essential. I think that the military is essential. They protect property. I think Border Patrol is essential. They protect property. I think flight controllers, Border Patrol, I think all these other people, they're all essential too. EPA, you can stay home. Department of Education, you can stay home. Then just goes through the list. And maybe even within certain departments and agencies, he can say, well, I think within this, I think that's essential. That's essential. That's not. So because of Bobby Kennedy, he says, you know, of the 400 different agencies that make up and comprise the health and human services sector in the federal government, you can send everybody home, but like two. Basically, Democrats could give Trump the ultimate DOGE shutdown. And then when we see America is still functioning, because the game is always played this way. It's a scare tactic game. And then when it's over, everybody gets their back pay and we all go back to like life was normal. But this time we don't. What if we turn around at that point and we go, hey, you know, we survived here for 4 months with a government shutdown. And look what we've learned. How many people here are non-essential after all? How many people in government don't work to protect life and property? Isn't that something? How many people in our federal government do not serve the function of the safety of human life and or the protection of property? So we don't need them back. We're good. Ooh. Now that would be a Jedi mind trick, would it not? That would be the kind of thing that Democrats would really, really hate him for. I almost feel bad even sharing this with you because I think it might be something he has up his sleeve. These are smart people here. Russ Vought's smart. He knows. Vought. Yeah, Russ Vought. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. that the waste and the bloat in the federal government, all of it, so much of it, you don't need it. You just don't need it. You could just, it could all magically disappear tomorrow and you'd be fine. And life as we know it in this country would go on. Would go on. Yeah. America's military would still be there. The people that are actually in the business of keeping us safe. But does the FCC need to work? Nope. They do not. Would I be sad if all the bureaucrats at the FCC who are supposed to be monitoring this radio show are home? I would not be shedding a tear for them. I'm sorry, but I wouldn't. If it were up to me, they wouldn't come back. Go get a job. See how tough it is out there in the industry that you regulate. Radio, television. Good luck. Really. Would I be sad if PBS and NPR didn't get their funding? Do you really think I'd be shedding a tear for that? Would most Americans? No. You could almost tweak this in such a manner that you get to decide and really take this time to look at the government. I almost hope this happens. I don't almost. I hope this happens. I do. I say let it happen and let's see exactly what's essential and what's not. Because we've never really had this conversation, have we? And all the time we've talked about government shutdowns. And I remember, too, when I guess it was Barack Obama was president. And I was early in the radio, my radio career. But do you remember when they shut down the government and the National Park Service started putting up like black tarps over monuments so you couldn't look at them? Like you couldn't look at Lincoln. They put up a big black tarp so you couldn't look at Abraham Lincoln at the Lincoln Memorial. And I said, what's next? Like, are they going to cover up Mount Rushmore? Drop a giant sheet over it, a giant tarp over it? But that's the point. How many different things within the federal, because they did all kinds of stupid things like this national park's closed. Why is it closed? Well, because the government's closed, the national park's closed. I don't understand. Why can't we just go walk through the park? Well, see, they play games to try to scare you. But what if we didn't play games? What if we actually turned around and said, you know what? Park rangers are essential because they will help keep people safe from bears. And we don't want people getting eaten by bears. So we'll keep them so that we don't have to shut down the national park. So if you and your family have a trip planned to Yosemite or whatever, you can still go. But the State Department's essential, but not the people within the State Department that give away all the grants and all the money. They're not essential. I mean, you could have a lot of fun with this. You really could. You could have a lot of fun. And then say it takes them 4 months to work this out and America survives. We all don't perish. We're all here. Man, maybe at that point we turn around and go, did we really need those people in the first place if they're non-essential? I'm just saying. Could be nice. Just think about it. Democrats could be playing directly into Donald Trump's hands, and they're so freaking stupid that they just might. Let me hear some sad Hulk.
I have three choices, actually. I don't know which one you want to hear first.
Okay.
We've got the sad Hulk. We've got Andrea Bocelli, Time to Say Goodbye. And we've got the Vienna Philharmonic, Adagio for Strings. So which sounds good to you?
All right, we'll do this. We'll come back. We'll play Sad Bernie with all three. See which one we like best. As Megaphone Bernie now becomes Sad Megaphone Bernie, what is his appropriate theme song? All right? We'll talk about that. We have 30 minutes of nonstop talk for you, but we're not sad. We're happy because it's our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.